Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to Table Manners. I'm here and we're drinking a bit of rosé.
Rosé.
Rosé?
Rosé, because of the weather.
Because of Michael McIntyre, who apparently, what did he say to our wonderful Alice producer on the phone?
Darling, I think he thinks I've got a career ahead of me in stand-up.
Oh yeah, go on.
Says I've got great comedic timing.
Oh, marvellous Mrs.
Maisel.
Where?
Yep.
Well, look, I'm to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you are very funny.
Well, I'd like to think so.
So tonight we have...
Let's just say he wears a hat.
Well, he doesn't anymore.
I want my money back. If he doesn't wear a hat, I'm asking for my money back.
That went after the first album, I think.
He got the Burberry gig because of the hat.
I don't know if he got it because of the hat.
It was he wore his hat right through the Burberry campaign.
It was the lucky hat.
Lucky hat.
I wonder if he will come with that. No, he cut his hair off for the second album, which I have to say was my absolute favourite of James Bate. Bloody love that record. Wild Love, sexy song, very, very sexy. Thought the hair was very sexy on the second album.
He's very handsome.
He's grown it back now, so I'm wondering.
Why?
What this means.
Very good looking.
Very good looking. Played in Soccer Aid for UNICEF.
Did he?
For England, yeah. Got an assist and a penalty at the end, I think. So yeah, we've got James Bate. Massive artist, like first album blew up everywhere. I remember him doing a Grammys performance with Tori Kelly and they were singing together and it was really amazing.
He's got a nice voice.
Beautiful voice. Has a few things he doesn't eat though, doesn't he?
Well, yeah.
It's one of them.
I wouldn't say it was a Mediterranean palate. So I've done an Austrian palate tonight. We've done
That's as good.
Chicken... Oh, a Riesling. Because Michael McIntyre mentioned it. And I've
Our favourite person in the world.
My very new favourite person, yeah. And I've eaten it at Bellinger, which I love. And great restaurant, which has reopened again.
Yes, they closed
it's
down.
Back. They closed down. They're back. I'm so happy.
Imagine if, like, so did the community get together and say, we want you back?
First of all, it was gorgeous inside. It's all wood panelled.
Oh, they've so
got
lovely
a lovely
there,
little
too.
Private
They let
thing.
Dogs in, which my manager liked.
Oh, yeah. And yeah. The food is great. It's a lovely little spot. Anyway, so the Bellinger did Riesling chicken, which I loved. So I thought, I'll have a go at that. And I hope I've managed to. It's a Nigella recipe I've used and adapted.
An old friend.
Our old friend Nigella.
Nige. Did you call her Nige?
But it actually was so quick and easy. And then we're going to have passionate eating mess.
I love a passionate eating mess.
Good.
Love it. The trick is you put a bit of Greek yoghurt in.
No, I don't, darling. I put passion fruit in, darling.
I thought you were going to put a bit of Greek yoghurt in.
No, I might do, but I'm going to put passion fruit in. I've got lovely Greek yoghurt.
Everything's good. We've got James Bay coming up on Table Manners.
James Bay, the handsome, gorgeous James Bay, but without the hat.
No
I want
hat.
My money back. But welcome to Table Manners.
Thank you so much for having me. What
Absolute
a joy.
Absolute pleasure.
What a pleasure.
You come in your cord, your autumnal cord.
You know, why? Is it too early?
No, it's lovely.
All right.
And then you've come in with a fancy looking, it's got so much wax down it.
That's sort of why I like it.
Yeah, what
I mean,
is it?
I like it for many reasons. This, I discovered this. There'll be sort of more to sort of talk about this later. I didn't
what
discover it myself. It's
the
called a Bella Gloss from.
Bottle
it's from
seen.
I guess California, Sonoma County,
Pinot
California.
Noir.
But I know Pinot Noir. I'm not like my.
I think I've got that. I think Ben Palmer got me that. It must be a music industry thing.
I went to Nashville in February right before it all kicked off, and I managed to spend the full sort of 5 weeks that I intended to spend there. And I worked with this great producer called Dave Cobb, and he took me to this lovely steakhouse, and he said, "You got to try. What do you like?" I said, "I love red wine." I said, "But I don't go like heavy stuff. I don't go like Barolo or anything like that. I also, before I start to sound like I know what I'm talking about,
you know nothing about
I just say I know nothing about
I
it.
I love you.
And what
but
makes
you know
that,
what you like.
I know what I like. What makes it even worse is my dad, for who is retired now, but for 45 years was a wine merchant and would like, he knows everything about wine and I have very small interest.
He was a wine
merchant. And you've never listened to him?
Not really, I confess.
Were you drinking from an early age? Was it kind of like you were having a little drink?
I don't know. I'm... There was lots of wine in the house growing up, but I don't. There's me and my brother and my mum and my dad. My brother was sort of adopted the party animal kind of abilities from early on. Me, I was like in my room, guitar, door shut, keep it quiet, keep it chill.
Where were you brought up? Brighton?
I lived in Brighton for a couple of years when I was about sort of 19. But
BIM?
I did a bit of BIM. I did
What's
some time
BIM?
BIM.
I mean, they're famous for the Kooks. The Kooks BIM came out with BIM, and so did James Bay.
I was there at the same time as Tom O'Dell. Tom was there as well. He left before me, but I did about 18 months at BIM. But BIM is a music college, and I met.
Oh, is it?
It was originally the Brighton Institute of Modern Music. I think now it's the British Institute because they've sort of spread out all over the place. But I was there doing my thing, and manager types, A&R types, record label people are constantly kind of keeping an eye on what's going on down at these music colleges, because you never know who there might be some youngster who's sort of worth showing some sort of interest in. And that's kind of what happened, in that the college were like, my guys got in touch just to say, anybody worth coming to check out? And the college said, James is great, you know, if he people
when
are
when you
enjoying...
say my guys, your managers now.
My managers now, okay. Sorry, yes. My managers, those who are the guys who are my managers still. And this is 10 years ago now.
Old are you? You're about 12.
I turned 30 the other day.
James, God almighty.
Jesus!
September 4th, me and Beyonce. That's why we're such good mates.
Me and Beyonce.
We're not good mates. Anyway, so I was there. They came down and they saw me play at... They do every sort of term or so, or kind of halfway through the year, and at the end of the year, they do these concerts that you sort of had to audition for and you got to do one song. And they were told that the college sort of said, you know, people are liking James. He's new here, but they're sort of liking what he's up to. And I was, you know, bouncing around Brighton playing open mic nights, playing covers, playing songs I'd written that weren't very good, but I was sort of learning something.
What were your covers?
My covers were old stuff.
Who do you love?
Busking like song like Wilson Pickett songs.
Of course.
I was like busking songs like Stephen Stills songs and like old stuff, like trying to do covers of Aretha Franklin on an acoustic guitar. And, anyway, lots of fun.
So soul music.
Soul music,
not
absolutely.
Folk music.
Not so much folk, but because I was stood there with an acoustic guitar, kind of to the naked eye, it's folk.
It's a bit
Someone
folky,
sort of goes,
it?
It's folk.
Yeah.
And then the combo of the two, people didn't mind it, you know, down there at the college. And they said, come and give James a you know, check him out. And they came down, Paul and Ryan, and they said, you know, we'd sort of heard your song that I'd put my own song on a MySpace page. And they said, like, you know, we'd love to... They said, you can carry on doing this, but we'd like to be your managers, kind of gradually. I basically, in that moment, said, like, yeah, I'm done here. If you want to sort of help me, take me into the real music industry in some gradual way, then I'm following you. It's pretty
fun.
So
you left BIM to kind of be developed... for your management to kind of help you develop as an artist.
Yeah, because I was writing all on my own. And I was like doing like open mic nights and stuff in Brighton. I'd play my own song and people would be listening during the verse. Oh. And I'd be like, oh, they like the verse. Then I'd start the chorus, they start talking. And I'd go, well, I go away from a night like that and I go, okay, I need better choruses. And it just helped me work on like songwriting
How
and stuff
interesting.
Like that.
So interesting.
I kind of enjoyed all of that.
I need better. You didn't think fuck them. You just thought I need better choruses.
That was genuinely
You're
my sort of mindset.
Someone who learnt from your experience.
What's your trick for
most
a good
people?
Chorus? Because a good chorus.
I don't know what my trick is for a good chorus. I'm still sort of chasing that down. And as I carry on writing,
James, hold back the river.
Well, I don't know.
Where did you write that?
I wrote that in the bell tower of a church with a friend of mine called Ian Archer, who was in Snow Patrol for a bit. He's a really great songwriter in his own right as well. And we got together, and it's in like Caledonian Road, it's like around there. And he has a studio in this church bell tower, which just sounds really good when you sort of stand in there and like stomp on the floor and sing all that stuff. So Yeah, we wrote it in there. I'm still trying to trace.
I think that
chorus
is pretty
chorus.
Good, don't
I'll take
you,
that.
No, I feel like but your choruses you're getting okay. Kind of the Bay formula and it's working.
Oh, well, yeah. Thanks. I'll take it. And then I'll go home and I'll think, what do they mean by that? And I'll study my own music.
No, don't. You're not full of anxiety.
No, only that it's very easy to overthink.
Oh, my God.
In the
tell
writing.
Me about
ask Jesse
it.
About it, overthinking.
I'm not, I'm not a perfectionist, so I overthink and I go, fuck it, can't be asked to do enough versions, so fuck it, that's what you get.
Fair play.
But it's kind of sometimes served me well. But, yeah, I mean, the industry's a funny old thing, isn't
it's
it?
It's a funny old thing.
How is it being, what, third album now?
Third album's coming, yeah, I've nearly finished it and it's on the way. It's good, I don't know, like, first album, you know, complete kind of shot in the dark, you make a first album, and if it goes quite well...
And you're a millionaire.
Well, that's all exciting, but it's just a sort of really a sort of big bonus, because you tried and tried, and then enough people like it that they sort of let you make a second album.
James, you were everywhere.
You were the I remember watching you. I was in America. I think Grammys. I was doing writing sessions.
Very scary.
Grammys.
Very
it was
scary.
With Tori Kelly.
Yeah,
wasn't
yeah.
It?
Incredible.
And you
pipes.
Did amazingly. It was thanks. Just you two.
In that moment, to know, like, we'd rehearsed that week and we were like full of excitement and sort of bouncing off the walls. And they'd asked us to do a song, sort of weave our songs together and do a performance together. And it was all wonderful. But like, the silent between the two of us, like as we started to sort of approach the stage, we sort of forgot how to speak and just spoke to each other with like facial expressions, just like making eyes like, can you believe this? Can you? And trying not to think about the fact that as we stepped onto that stage, there was two stages. There's the main stage that one side of the room that faces
everyone.
Where was
everyone. It? Which theatre was it?
LA, it was at the Staples Center, which is an arena.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
a
it's
basketball
huge.
Arena.
Yeah.
And then there was a little stage in the middle, kind of a satellite stage in the middle. And knowing, but doing everything in my power not to say it out loud, but knowing that we're in this stage in the middle of an audience full of Dave Grohl, Beyonce, Adele, Ed Sheeran, Justin Bieber, they're all in the room and just having to, trying to like zone that out, very intense for like, we were just a couple of sort of newbies. And then they all did like a standing ovation at the end. And
it
that
was
really
like good, babe.
Bonkers. Thank you.
They love a good voice, the Americans, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, they do.
They love a voice.
I did my best
riff.
To sort of, I just sort of hid behind Tori Kelly's phenomenal voice and just tried
oh, please,
to sort of
you
support.
Did really good. You did really good.
But look, I want to ask something that might be a bit odd, but because you're so handsome, oh. Do you think you get objectified? Because you did all those fashion shoots and everything.
I did. The fashion shoot offers, they come and I don't know. Do I get objectified?
Do you like being objectified?
Oh, there's a question. That's a real deep one.
We're not deep, James, at all. But I just wonder, because you are very handsome.
Thank you.
And you have done modelling as well since. But part of your... I mean, I've
sure... I think Mum's on her fourth time of telling James that he's handsome.
This is good.
Okay.
I mean, literally finished a glass yet. Go on, carry on.
Okay.
Just trying to sort of...
don't you agree? Yeah, look at the cheekbones there.
They're really good cheekbones.
They're razor cheekbones. Do you think... I mean, probably you did the modelling because it was great money and because it raises your profile and more
profile
people
was
see
a big
you.
One, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you had your hat on with the Burberry.
Yeah, yeah, I could
rats,
sort of be like... I could be hat on, leather jacket. I'm not a model, but thanks for having me on board.
Yeah.
And like...
And you don't mind?
I don't mind. No,
no, it fucking pays for his house,
probably. There you go. I started out like any connection to all the fashion world was because somebody, Christopher Bailey at the time, who was, you know, Mr. Burberry, brilliant, brilliant bloke. Like, I like Christopher a lot. And he has a little music team. They had a little music team at Burberry. They have like Burberry Music or whatever they called it. And he liked sort of live music to soundtrack the shows. So they found me to come and do... I stood at the end of the catwalk, like the back end of the catwalk, not the bit that they all walked to.
Playing your guitar.
I played me like in like Hyde Park or whatever it was. Some
you kind
massive
of wished it was
show.
Victoria's Secrets though, didn't you? When old Ed Sheeran Weekend gets to do that with the Scantily Clown.
Yeah,
and Gigi
so Ed Sheeran and Hosier with that gig. Yeah. I was like, hang on. But,
can I just ask you, but please. Who was your female counterpart in the campaign for Burberry?
Oh,
was
well, it
Cara
wasn't.
Delevingne?
It wasn't really. It was bigger than that. The main Burberry thing was loads of us. There was a Beckham kid. He was, it's amazing because he's like 17 feet tall now, but at the time he was
Romeo.
Like, Romeo, yeah.
Beautiful,
very good looking, lovely little lad. George Ezra was in there.
Lovely.
But then it was like Naomi Campbell, Rosie, I'm going to go Huntington Whiteley, have I got it? Yes.
With those lips.
The whole,
the
so
best lips
everybody.
I've ever seen in my whole life, yeah.
Absolutely winning. And I feel like Elton John was in it as well. sir.
Yeah, no. A little wild card there.
Wrong with it. It was like at the main Burberry thing
Elton
that I did.
Got in on the
Burberry. Oh, bless him. He really needs some fucking cash. He's a bit strapped at the moment, isn't he?
And he needs a new rake.
He needs a new rake.
There was a really intense moment where they wanted all of us. They wanted everyone to... We all were on a trampoline.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, it was really, it was intense degrees of fashion.
A Jitterbug. I'm like, I've got Zoolander in my head. A Jitterbug.
I like fully like pulled a few muscles.
Can you imagine me with my knee?
Oh, Mum, you're not getting Burberry just yet. We've just about got Sainsbury's. So just, whoa, Nelly.
I remember Rosie, whatever Rosie was wearing, she was being asked to jump up and down on this trampoline and it was all coming off.
Oh, yeah, though.
All the clothes were coming off.
How can you do that with your extensions and everything?
I love that Mum's trying to think about how Lenny is going
to work. I'm trying to work it out.
The Burberry trampoline.
The pelvic floor.
Forget about it. The pelvic floor, yeah. Anybody had a baby, because you would have known, because they would have pissed themselves on the trampoline. Yeah.
Oh. Is the hat coming back for the next
Is the hat coming back? What would you like?
Look, ooh, I love thinks, the hat, thinks but about maybe it's a bit old hat.
There you go, there you go! I feel like we were queued up just for that line. I feel like that
you
was...
You gave it to me, sure, James. Somebody. Thank you, darling.
In that case, no, it's not.
No.
But I do want to talk about...
Hit
I don't
me.
Feel like...
Hit me.
No, I want to talk about the second record because... Please. I have to say, I fucking loved it.
Thank you very much.
And I feel like not enough people paid attention and it fucks me off.
No, but you get it though, because you're musical and you understand like wanting to...
Dude, Wild Love is sexiest song ever!
I had a moment, I did this thing recently called Soccer Aid.
I'm a UNICEF ambassador, so
there you go.
Thank you.
You know
for
all
doing
about
that.
It. No trouble. Thank you for having me. It was insane. But like...
Did you score?
I didn't score, but I set a goal up.
Amazing.
I passed
an assist.
I did an assist, you know, and I scored a penalty as well.
Who did you assist?
I assisted a lad called Young Philly.
Young Philly?
Don't really know who he is, but he's a brilliant lad. I think he's a YouTuber. I hadn't heard of him before, but he's the loveliest lad I've ever met, and he scores goals. But I met the nation's new best mate, Joe Wicks. You've had him on? Yeah. What a fantastic lad. One of my new sort of favourite people. And he... has been messaging me kind of constantly through the last sort of couple of months of lockdown about my second album. Just texts that kind of make me laugh, because I imagine his voice when he writes. He's kind of going, oh, for fuck's sake, mate. I've just discovered your second album. Fucking hell, it's so good. And I'm like...
He didn't put it on his Desert Island Disc and he put Moana on instead.
So he's your new bestie.
He's my new bestie. I like Joe a lot.
You'll
he's
be
very
in
sweet.
His videos doing PE.
I'll have a go.
Maybe Wild Love could be a cool down.
There you go. Finally, the campaign starts here.
Mate, all I'm saying is that album was sick. Your hair looked banging in that
Thanks.
Album. And also, Wild Love just is an absolute banger.
I appreciate
and
that.
And I feel like... Being...
Jesse, are you trying to get a duet here?
Maybe, actually. Done.
We'll talk about that later.
But you know, and tell me if I'm wrong, but you go from being Grammy... Were you nominated?
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay,
three times,
so you're doing
yeah.
that and... Freaking hell. Mm. So like, you know, it's you don't know anything else apart from that as your debut. Mm. And then you put in this like slightly more alternative record.
Yeah, yeah.
And you could have easily done
you
the
know,
same.
Oh yeah, two. I could have gone for the same. No, you get it. Carry
and,
on, please.
And you and I feel like you did really amazingly, and I feel like it's an incredibly frustrating
you get it.
World that we live in that people don't maybe accept the kind of credibility and brilliance of that record, and it's frustrating. And I can only imagine that it's kind of I don't know how you felt, but...
Everything that second album was from... And literally, you know, we talk about the music, but even the haircut was fully intentional.
Mm,
it was
yeah.
everything that I wanted to do that I... Because nobody ever told me, can you please make the first album again? No one said that.
Mm.
I appreciate maybe lots of people on the team would have sort of liked that. And I understand that. And I don't have any grudges towards that either. But I was allowed, despite... And I'm very proud of the success of the first album, but I was very welcome to kind of go and make whatever. And in the process of making my second record, credit to my entire gang, they were so fucking excited about the music.
Mm.
From Wild Love to the rest of the songs, we were bouncing off the walls in our own bubble, like excited to put this music out. But what's interesting that I really learned about is you reach... When music does as... Or I can only speak from my experience, and... When music does as well as what my successfully or commercially as my some of the songs off my first record and really the first record, you reach a bunch of people who aren't as deeply into music as you and me, or even the majority of people working in the music industry. They're just sort of fair weather music listeners, music lovers, and they'll buy all the tickets and they'll buy all the records and your music will do really well. And actually, I understand that they wouldn't mind just a bit of the same on album on album two. They wouldn't mind just a bit of the same. Let's just have the...
That's
I loved All Back the River. Give me another one of them. But as an artist, as a sort of anxiety-ridden, deep thinking, you know, introspective songwriter, I kind of go, no, I can't, I mustn't, I have to reach further, do something different, evolve, blah, 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 blah. You get it.
Yeah.
And I will just say, slightly emotional, but from another artist who I fully respect and am a fan of, to hear you understand it is like, it means a lot. It's very cool. It's because it's sort of bonkers. You to experience the success of the first record was a crazy dream, and to have the opportunity to just follow my gut and my heart on the second record was a wonderful experience. And yet, yes, like you say, people didn't take to it in the same way, and that's all right. I'm all right with all
it
that.
It is all right if you are proud of the record.
I'm so proud.
It still
of the
lives with it.
Doesn't
so that,
matter.
That's it.
Who said to
David
you?
David Kumu, when I worked on my first record, I remember we made this record. No one gave a shit about me, and that was absolutely perfect. But he was like, "Look, you have to live with this record. If nobody else listens to it, you have to be proud of it. So if you have that from your second record,
I do,
which is a banger, and everyone should listen to, then you can always live in the confidence that you basically did what you needed to do.
Yeah, straight.
But there's a huge pressure
time.
On you when you've had a big
there
success
is. There
to
is.
Get another big hit.
There really, really is.
And that's really record... Sorry, I hate to say this, but record labels are about making money.
Massively.
They don't
business.
Really care about whether you're glad or proud or,
yeah.
or what. They want a big hit to make money.
It's entirely right, it's entirely true, it's business, it's, you know, it's sales.
James, I'm not going to lie, there's a few things you don't eat.
Sorry.
No aubergine, no courgette, no goat's cheese. What were the other fucking
Darling,
things you added?
Darling, you haven't got arthritis, have you? Because
not,
I'm
not
on
yet.
That kind of diet.
What is this about?
What was it? All right, okay, so...
Had a bad encounter with an aubergine?
Throughout my childhood, I was pressed to try again and again on aubergine stuff and on courgette stuff and on, like, marrow, and it all...
You didn't like it.
Forgive me, but it came under the sort of bracket of this, like...
The wetness.
Sort of,
isn't it?
There you go.
Yeah.
And I was kind
Christ.
Of going, it was kind of wretched. Sorry. And I'm sort of a bit scarred. And look.
I just needed to know.
Look, the fact is, you asked me. You shouldn't have asked me.
No,
no.
Fine.
You know this is your.
Okay. And imagine if I'd done a bloody Briam, which would have been ratatouille. Oh, nightmares. Help me, stop coming in.
You don't have done a Briam because you don't fucking cook.
Oh, yes. We are doing, actually, because of Michael McIntyre, because he mentioned it, and we thought, oh, that would work. Doesn't have any of the
chicken
ingredients that you don't like. Chicken
Sick.
And wine.
Incredible.
Done. And you know what they serve it with?
What?
Pappardelle.
And that's incredible. Wow.
So you're having it pasta and chicken, which I've always heard is a big no-no.
Is this
apparently,
red? Is this red just
France,
a terrible pairing with a... I mean, Riesling is like... Kind of isn't that like white wine?
It is.
That's a nightmare. Sorry.
But, no, it's not a nightmare, but I'm just wondering whether we can stick the old Pinot Noir... Because Pinot Noir is quite light, isn't it? I'm looking at Alice because she's
light.
A bit French, so there we go. Al... I think that'd be nice. And I kind of want to try this Pinot Noir.
If we're going to do it, just open it. This is like my dad talking. Just open it for 2 seconds beforehand.
Let it breathe.
You know, all of that.
Have you brought a decanter in your, in your pocket?
In my hat, in my deep hat.
In your hat.
No, I have not. But I know it's great out of the bottle, but just give it a minute.
So, James, is it true you support Newcastle?
I do support Newcastle. I'm not, like, anywhere near from Newcastle. When I was a kid, so when I was, I don't know, 5 or 6 years old, and this is also, I'll say that my dad is, like, a rugby guy. He's not a football guy. So I said to my... Alan Shearer was, like, the best player in England at the time. Nice. I was a little kid.
I had the hots for Alan
Shearer. There you go.
Yeah.
So did I.
Yeah.
And I said to my dad, who does he play for? He said, well, he's actually just signed for Newcastle. And I just said, that's my team then. And it has been ever since.
So where did you grow up?
I grew up in a very small town in Hertfordshire called Hitchin, that is nowhere near Newcastle. I should have really supported Watford, I guess, but they weren't an exciting Premier League team.
I actually played a gig in Hitchin when I was in a band called Man Like Me. They were really big in Hitchin.
Really?
Yeah.
Where'd you play?
I can't remember.
Club 85?
Sounds about right.
Maybe. Yeah, that's literally the only venue in town. Everything else is a pub.
That would be it then.
So you probably play there. Fair play, you've played there.
Yeah, darling, you didn't play venues, you played pubs, darling.
I mean, there's loads of great pubs.
Electric Ballroom, what are you talking about?
There you go.
Yeah.
There's loads of great pubs.
You did really well.
But I grew up there and I always tried my absolute hardest to like rugby. I was absolutely never built to play it. And really, I just like football. And I tried rugby, and then I got out of it. In getting out of rugby, I sort of got out of all sport, and I was able to just dive into music and do music like crazy from the age of sort of... I started playing guitar when I was 11, started playing gigs when I was 13 or 14. Me and my brother, only a little bit older than me.
How many brothers and sisters?
Just the one brother. Alex is about 18 months older than me. We grew up really tight and always just sort of fell in love with the same thing, skateboarding, music, football, whatever.
So where's he now?
He's in London as well. He's around the corner from me in Islington. He's still musical. He plays in my band now and again, but he does his own songs as well and sort of writes and does all of that. But he was kind of the little leader of the pack because he was a little bit older than the rest of us. And he would...
Bless him.
We would like roll up to pubs in Hitchin, Little Hitchin, when we were 13. And you weren't even really allowed to be in a pub, but it wasn't like crazy strict times. And he'd just go, we'd all sort of go, do you want a gig? At like 2 p.m. No one was inviting us to play. We figured at that time, at that age, because no one knows who you are when you're sort of 13, so they're not going to, and you're not old enough, so they're not going to ask you to come and play on a Friday, Saturday night. So we just went in ourselves, said, will you...
And they said yes.
Will you have us? And a couple of places said yes, and they paid us. And we did all right, and people were pissed enough that they thought we were really good.
And you were cute, and they were like, oh, give them a bit of money.
So we were just doing like Rolling Stones covers, and like, a couple of our sort of terrible own songs. And just sort of blagging it and really climbed through the ranks of Little Hitchin to the point that like if we were doing a gig, but in the final year or so, it was about 5 years that we were teenagers playing in town. In the final year or so that we were the band that we'd been for that time, it was a bit of a thing. People would really come out and sort of watch us, whether it was in like the back room of a pub and it was way too full, or whether it was at famous Club 85 of Hitchin, people would come and see us. It was fun. And then I just sort of did the terrible thing. Where I sort of went...
Left the band.
I kind of went, there's more out there than Hitchin.
No,
I did it, and I went to Brighton, and all the rest happened. But my brother hung out in Hitchin. For a little bit longer, He eventually got out
himself. Parents were probably heartbroken.
Well, you say that. They were like, they kind of loved us being around. Certainly Alex being around. But
so what was dinner like around the table?
Okay, I sort of wanted this to come up because it's so relevant to this whole podcast, this whole chat. My mum, as every guest you've ever had has said, is a phenomenal cook. She's an unreal cook.
Now I've got pressure.
I mean, you know, a little friendly pressure. It's nothing wrong, embrace it.
All right.
She's very, very good at cooking. All she'll really do is... I mean, she loves food. Both my parents love food. My dad's a big bloke. And he just sort of eats everything. And as a wine merchant, I will say, he kind of like spent... I'll probably get this slightly wrong if he hears this. But he spent parts of his... I mean, his big claim to fame in the sort of late 60s, early 70s. He was in London working in a wine shop. And there was two people in the space of a couple of years that came in for like it was like return business. And they would say, hey, I'd like to speak to Nick Bay. One of them was Mick Jagger.
Oh.
Just for a moment. And the other was Michael Caine.
Shit.
Like this, my dad's like early 70s. He's like, he was there back then. But yeah, so that was very cool. But
that's fucking cool.
So like food and wine.
What did they like drinking? You need to find out what
I actually need to find out. I bet you can't remember. My mum, very good cook. Both my parents just love food and drink. And
seems right that we've done Riesling for you then.
Where is the word Riesling? Is it German?
German,
word?
I think, or Austrian? German,
okay,
I think.
So,
well, there was the Third Reich, wasn't there? So it should be Riesling.
There you go. Really...
Right, cool.
So my mum, my parents love food. My mum is always one of two things in the kitchen. She's kind of loving the food and like excited about the process, or she's kind of complaining that she's still the one cooking.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know that one.
There you go. And really, there's a great deal of sort of love and affection in that. And I'm a bad cook and I've never really done anything to help her out in truth. And I confess, but she's very good at cooking. She was responsible back in the day for a very good coq au vin, which is sort of, you know, relates to our evening.
Lovely.
And
it's like, this is your life tonight.
It really is, isn't it?
Yeah.
and all other stuff. Like, she's great at roasts and she's great at all the stuff. I mean, there was a time when she was making pizzas from scratch, like dough and everything. She went in on it. But she'll even do a great tuna baked potato.
Tuna baked potato is one of the most underrated dishes.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, tuna, potato, bit of cheese maybe not. You don't need a lot going on, or you can have a load going on. It's always a winner.
I like to have it almost like a tarly plate. So I have a little bit of... My husband got me into cold baked beans.
That is a huge curveball.
It really works. You have cold baked beans. I like to do a bit of grated carrot and grated cheese in another area. Ooh. Then I'll have the tuna mayo with vinegar, like make it...
Yeah. Can I just now, here today in 2020...
Yeah.
How is your fella on the... Because he's big on the cold baked beans.
Yeah.
Have you advanced to Heinz 5 bean?
What's that?
What's that?
Oh, guys.
What's the Heinz 5 bean?
5 bean.
What is it?
It's a can of beans, but they're doing
five different...
I mean, it's good stuff. No, believe me. Trust me.
In tomato sauce.
Today, for lunch, because I'm such a phenomenal chef, I had beans on toast.
Yeah.
Bit of cheese, but it was Heinz 5 beans, so I was like even better as a chef. That was nothing to do with me.
Was it nice?
Oh, I have not heard about this. Maybe the kids would like it.
Just go, whatever you're doing, like whether it's Sainsbury's or Ricardo or whatever.
5 beans.
Go looking for the 5 bean. Get in your phone.
I'm Googling this now.
Heinz 5 bean. Big fan. I mean, it's a small step up, but it's relevant and.
Heinz 5 bean. That's what you had for lunch, yeah?
For lunch, yeah. I just sort of smashed it down.
So, okay, so...
So, yes, my mum, big cook, loves making food. I mean, look, I grew up with... My parents were... Like, all parents, they are like, this isn't a hotel. This isn't a this, this isn't a that. And that's... I get it. But they secretly, and they celebrate it even more these days. They loved the fact that half of the people, the lads in the band that we were in, were just, they get up the next morning, my parents, and there's an extra pair of shoes by the front door, and the lads are just sort of staying around, everybody's around, and my mum loves doing a massive breakfast, she loves it. So my bass player, Tom, is my oldest mate. I've known him since I was...
Is he in your band now?
Yeah, he's in my band now. I've known him since I was 3, and in his nearly 30 years, he's probably spent half of his time at my mum's house, like...
Eating.
Absolutely eating. She would make... She'd go down the market on the weekend and get massive ciabatta rolls and send me in... to school with like ciabatta packed lunches and all this stuff, and like I've got Tom sort of going, I'll give you 20p for a bite. It's a good memory.
Oh, 20p.
I was making big money in year 9.
That's amazing.
So yeah,
what was in a ciabatta?
I mean, she to be honest, like back then, she's even, the bread was so incredible, she just put like a bunch of like ham and cheese in it, and I'm sort of good. I'm like,
yeah,
I'm in school.
Saved.
The bread absolutely saves you. I mean, it was good ham and cheese. You know, but it was like butcher's ham.
What else was in your packed lunch? And what was your packed lunch?
Bit of fruit. I was one of those teenage boys who, like, I was this tall. I'm sort of, I was 6 foot when I was sort of 13.
Oh, wow.
So, like...
You had a lot of...
I did a lot of growing.
Feed.
Yeah. It was all of that. I remember year 6 primary school, last year of primary school, going into year 7. Mm. I went from a size 7 to a size 11 shoe in like a year.
So my son has hope. Okay,
it
fine.
Was like
a, he's
it was
a short ass at the moment.
It was cool. Like a moment. But
bloody hell.
So my mum, because my brother is older than me, but he's actually a little shorter than me. He's like 5 foot. I'm going to get this wrong, and if he hears this, he's going to hate it. I'm going to say he's 5 foot eight.
Well, let's say he's 5'10". Come on. Let's make
probably
him
probably is.
At the
sorry.
End.
Right. But that didn't stop. It didn't matter that he wasn't having a growth spurt like I was. He was eating everything in the same way. And my mum... is a great, she's a mum who loves feeding. She loved people coming round. She loved like all the band being round. She loved sort of being at the gig now and again and like the whole thing and like being just sort of supplying teenagers who were trying to do a thing, which for us was music, with all the fuel in between. Like she'd do like a big band dinner now and again.
Has she had any say on your rider as you've got
no
more
chance.
Successful?
No way.
What
no,
is on your rider?
My rider has varied over the... Lately, it's very kind of... I'm trying to be very clean. I'm trying to be very sort of recyclable, which isn't so much about the food, but it's more about the packaging. But I'm trying to do all that sort of stuff. But early days, it was like, I can eat cereal at every hour of the day. I'm big into that.
Love. Which one's your favourite?
Sort of all of them.
It's very true, actually.
It's true, Alex.
I love it. I will take the time to make myself a bowl of porridge, which is not like immediate cereal like we know it.
Sam thinks porridge is like
my husband
rice pudding.
Sam.
Porridge is dreamy.
He has it for dessert.
And I was like, smash down like 3 bowls of Alpen. I'll have like eight Weetabix in a bowl.
Love Alpen.
Love Alpen. I mean all of them.
Fruit and fibre.
I'll do it. I'm down.
Corn flakes.
Yeah, I'm in.
So, okay, so is there anything interesting on your rider? Sorry, no offence. But, you know, yeah. I just need to know an idea.
It's all just like fuel.
It's just sensible. Mine's really sensible.
Oh, go on, prompt me. Take me through yours.
Jessie's the most boring rider. So you go
Mum wants, stage. Like, naked men and kittens.
I don't want ice sculptures, but...
Ed Sheeran, I toured with Ed Sheeran last year. Just speaking of ice sculptures, I toured with Ed last year, and he ended the tour in Iceland with an ice sculpture of himself.
Oh my God!
Good story was that I missed this bit, but on the last night...
Did it come out of his willy? The little...
No, it didn't.
I'm disappointed. Ed, I felt like, would have done that.
Yeah, to be honest, yes. But what I liked was that... And the last night, I missed this bit. I wasn't there. I can't remember why I wasn't there. But second to last night, sorry. He had a... Because when it was like two nights in the same venue, on the first night, he would have like a party sort of in the venue for the crew and everybody. Mm. And... He told me the next night that at random, to me it was random, Damien Rice was there. Well, cool. Like, Damien Rice is awesome.
Does Damien Rice live in Iceland?
I don't think so. Well, maybe he does.
Were you in Iceland?
We were in Iceland, okay, yeah. Okay, fine. We were in Reykjavik. And Damien comes in and Ed was saying something about, he's like, I haven't really sort of talked to Damien Rice ever, really, but he's absolutely like the reason that I picked up a guitar. He's my superhero. And he said, like, I'd never really met him. And when he arrived, the first sort of things that Ed was sort of saying as he was walking Damien like into his after show party was like, look, man, I just got to say, you're the reason I do this. And I'm so inspired by your like humble, like organic sort of quality. This and, that. Mm. And they like walked him in saying this and turned around. And the first thing they looked at was this ice sculpture of Ed.
I love him, Ed.
His crew were like drinking vodka off. Like you had to pour it like from his head and it went down like a thing.
The thing is, if you know Ed, there was irony within
there was,
that.
There was and great like, irony, absolutely.
But Damien may not have known that.
I even when Ed told me about it, I got this sense that Damien didn't sort of have a clue and kind of looked at this sculpture like, mate, what the fuck?
My God,
we all love that. Like even Ed was like, it's kind of fun. So, but anyway, I can't remember how we got on that. Rider, hit me with your rider. What you got?
No, it's really not good. The only thing that I've tried to do is do a postcard.
Jessie has
same.
Yeah, I mean, I fail miserably.
Jessie has Thomas and Crudity.
I send them all to my agent in America, Kirk. Love you, Kirk. I send pretty much all of them to
Why
him.
Why does Kirk get them and not your girlfriend?
She's half time. She's there. She's with me.
Oh, does she? Oh,
yeah. We do as much of that as we can. But
do you talk about your girlfriend at all?
Yeah.
What does she do?
She does ceramics and pottery and she builds.
Oh,
and
like Patrick Swayze and Demi.
Sure.
And you're singing behind her. Is it like that real life?
No,
have you ever?
She's in a communal. She's in a communal studio.
She's
in a communal studio with like 15 other people who she knows, who she's like making like ceramics and stuff. If I turned up, it'd be very funny. Bit of broccoli, long stem.
Do you mind broccoli?
Love it.
Okay, thank God.
Oh, I don't want to see
one vegetable
like...
that you'll eat.
Oh,
Jesus.
No. Goat's cheese isn't a vegetable. So she does that. What were we saying?
How did you meet?
We met, okay, so in Little Hitchin, there is.
Don't say she's a Hitchinite. There's a Hitchinette.
There's the boys' school, Hitchin Boys' School, right in the centre of town. Yeah. And you've got a couple of like high streets off that, and then you've got the hill, Windmill Hill, goes from the boys' school high street up the hill, at the top of the hill, probably a sort of 5 minute walk up the hill from the boys' school is the girls' school. She went to the girls' school. I went to the boys' school. In year 11, you're allowed to go meet in town at lunchtime.
Yeah,
kids are allowed like out in town.
How are you with dill?
I'm down with dill.
Are you sure?
I'm good with food, guys. Just so you know.
Okay.
Oh, I've set a terrible precedent.
Just never give him
this
a recipe.
This is so exciting. I'm so hungry. Look at this.
I want to know about this lunchtime.
Thank you.
I want to know about the lunchtime meetup with your future wife.
So we've been together. I must tell you this. We've been together for 13 years. What's going on? We've been together for 13 long years.
I really rate that. I've been with my husband for 18 years.
Wicked. We are best mates. So we met in town, but even more specific, Lucy's parents owned the record shop in Hitchin. I mean,
I can imagine the film. I'm thinking about the film of your life.
There was me working in fucking Sainsbury's.
On this podcast.
Don't get me wrong. We love Sainsbury's. It smells incredible, by the way.
It does smell good, Mum. It smells a bit kind of a Polish. It's the dill. In Poland.
It smells a bit kind of a...
No, but they always, in Poland, they always have dill. And I love that about them.
I'm going to remove a layer for the dinner.
So carry on. So you were working at Sainsbury's. What counter were you on?
Sainsbury's. To be honest, right, I was on the till. So funny. I was on the till. I mainly did trolleys. And the
You're lucky. My husband was fishing meat.
Lucy was fishing meat once upon a time back at like Waitrose back in the day. She did not enjoy it, but she knows how to gut a fish.
Yeah.
main gig was trolleys. The car park was on a hill. Where do all the trolleys roll to? The bottom of the hill. What am I spending my Saturday doing? Getting loads of trolleys up the hill.
And then eating loads of ciabatta sandwiches from your mum.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So would you meet at the bottom of the hill of the car park of Sainsbury's?
Yeah, kind of. She wasn't really going to... She was working in a record shop. And it was called CD Heaven, which lots of people thought was a bakery because they thought it was CD Heaven. Shame. But it was CD Heaven. Anyway, I worked...
Or a sex shop.
I mean, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, anyway.
From moment one... So I got my job at Sainsbury's because I wanted a Fender Strat. And I earned my Fender Strat 3 months into my nearly year-long job at Sainsbury's. My mum was like, you're not leaving Sainsbury's. We've got a, what's it called? Discount card. Staff members get a discount card. She's like, my discount card. You're not leaving Sainsbury's. I was like, hang on. Whose job is it? But I sulked so hard on the till that, like, even when Lucy's parents would, like, come in, like, halfway through a shift in the record shop and sort of see me and go, oh, you look a bit sad. And I'd be like, yeah, I fucking hate this job. And, I'd have like old ladies would go up to the front desk and go, the young lady on till seven, I had long hair at the time. So the young lady on till seven, she's too moody for me.
Oh, but you're so charming.
Fucking hell, I wasn't back then.
Oh my God. So go on, you're talking about CD Heaven.
Lucy worked in there.
Yeah.
She was like 15 working in there. And like every teenager in town, 10 times a Saturday, took their CV in. To Lucy's mum in the shop, you know, in case you need anybody. They couldn't afford, they were running a record shop in like 2005. They couldn't afford to employ anybody. It was literally a family business. And I've moped and sulked so hard in Sainsbury's that I was the teenager. And this is after me and Lucy got together. I was the teenager who got given the job in CD Heaven. Big moment.
You got it. So you were working together, going out together.
Big moment.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I want to know about...
What do you need?
I need your three dishes.
Okay.
And drink.
Remind me. Is this like because I'm about to die?
Well, it's very contentious issues. So
I can't bear that thought.
We don't call
dying.
It about...
Michael
we don't call
stressed.
It, yeah. We don't talk about it being the Last Supper. We talk about it as kind of the Last Supper before you're going away to a desert island.
My three. Is that... Three main courses, or is that dessert?
Whatever you want. You could have three puds if you want.
Look, the first thing, so I can get it out of my mouth and off my mind,
yeah.
Because it is the first thing that comes into my mind. It is the best margarita pizza you've ever had in your life.
Where?
I was sort of, the statement was like, whatever the best margarita is in the world.
But where is your favourite one?
Well, there's a few.
Come on then.
Yeah. Round the corner from my house, there's an amazing place called Oi Vita that I adore.
Okay. And you always order the margarita?
Yeah, and I'll eat other stuff on a pizza, like I eat all sorts of stuff on a pizza, but I do the whole fold in the fingers New York thing. I want to hold it in my hand. I'm not a knife and fork pizza guy.
Me neither.
So I don't want a billion things on top of my pizza, so I'm juggling loads of stuff. So that's one.
Please take some more broccoli. It's good for you.
Okay, so that's going to be maybe a starter or a main. We're not sure, but definitely a margarita.
I mean, you know what? I'll have it as a starter.
Yeah, I like that. Okay. It's very American to have it. Go to Gelina, have a little starter of a pizza.
Very good. I'm going to go three mains, actually. I'm not going to even
order. Oh, you're not a sweet person.
I am, but like, you've asked me for three. I've got
it could too
be, many
answers. It could be tasting plates. You know, could be a mini pizza.
So many things. I want, and I had this the other day for the first time in a long time. I went to see my mum because it was my birthday, and I went to see, and she hadn't seen me. So I went to see my parents, and she did just like a beef roast. It was a blinder. Absolute blinder.
Love beef roast.
Game changer. Yorkshire, she makes them herself.
Is she a good Yorkshire maker?
She absolutely is. And you know what? Let me tell you this. They don't always stand up. And sometimes they very much do, but even when they don't, I just cover them in gravy and I'm game.
He doesn't mind.
I don't mind. Man, fucking hell, a roast potato. Goose fat. Yeah.
Goose fat. I've got goose fat in there, I've not used it.
So, okay, so you're going your mum's roast.
And then for dessert, a steak. I mean, I'm not far off that, actually. So my mum's roast. I'm quite sort of classic in my choices here and my tastes. Number three. I'll give you a sweet thing. Sticky toffee pudding and custard. Whoa.
Do you know, most people say that.
Okay.
Travelling around the world, touring, where's your favourite destination to go and eat? Or is there a particular place, when you go to, you're big in America, when you go to America, there's somewhere you're like, I've got to go and eat here, before anything gets started. Don't give me an In-N-Out burger, I don't want to fucking hear it.
No chance, no fucking chance. No way.
Come on.
His father was a wine merchant, Jesse. You couldn't go to In-N-Out with that. This fabulous Pinot Noir.
Holds up the Pinot Noir.
I love this.
Okay, it's gone.
I mean, one of them is a newer place. It's in the Lower East Side in New York. It's called Rosie's. And it's a Mexican place. And we all love a bit of Mexican food now and again. And it's, again, like with the margarita, I sort of start at the simplest. If they do the simplest thing well, and even in Rosie's, it's the chips and salsa. They do it so incredibly well. And I don't go to sort of hot and spicy stuff for like wanting it to blow my head off. So their hot and spicy like salsa and stuff is just so full of flavour, as well as having enough of a kick. So that place is a good one for me. I just miss that place right now. I'm sort of in that point, as we all are, where like, I'd love to be going to New York next week to do a bit of promo.
God, I'd love to be going to New York too.
Yeah. Me too. So, Soccer Aid, what happened?
We lost, all right. But
did you lose?
Don't make a big deal out of it. England lost, but I...
Was Ollie Mears playing?
Yeah. He talks a big game and he's a brilliant lad and he's actually a very good footballer.
Shit.
No, he's a very good footballer, but the other team was just a bit better. And
it was with the rest of the world and
Who was that like?
They had loads of ex-pro incredible players, not least a bloke called Patrice Evra who stopped playing professionally like last week. So he's like, there's a few of those. Also, can I just say, I don't know if you've met many, but footballers are massive in the flesh. Footballers.
We're desperate for footballers.
They won't do the.
Oh, you want some footballers?
Podcast,
all right, hang on. Give me some time.
What Marcus Rashford?
Let me talk to my mate Rooney. Let's see what's going on.
How was Wayne?
He's a brilliant bloke. He was like 5 a.m. Yeah.
5 a.m. What are you doing with Wayne Rooney at 5 a.m.?
Could you get him on the podcast?
I'll do my best. I'll talk to him. Wayne, I'll give you a call.
He can bring Colleen with.
We were singing Mustang Sally at about 5 a.m.
No, you weren't.
Good times.
Wayne Rooney.
Very good times.
Stop.
He smashed it. He smashed it.
He likes music.
He knows about the commitments. Maybe you need to like have a movie night with Wayne
Rooney.
He
looks like one of the commitments.
Oh,
Jesse, he's a Rooney. They're Irish.
No.
They come from Dublin.
Oh, I love him. All of that was going on. I was there and they asked us all to bring a guitar. Danny from McFly.
Lovely. You played all your new best friends at UNICEF.
Joe Wicks.
Was it like band camp?
Dermot Kennedy. So me and Danny and Dermot have all been
Who's
asked.
Who's Dermot Kennedy?
He's a new lad on the block and he's fucking
new
brilliant.
Lad on the block that got Paul Mescal.
Yeah, sick.
In his old like fucking performance. So he got pulled the Irish favour.
At the
Natural
History, there you go. But
very good singer.
Very good. I really love Dermot. Particularly as of Soccer Aid, because I hadn't dived deep on his stuff at this point. But me, Dermot and Danny had all been asked to bring our guitars because it was going to go late and we were going to have a sing-song.
And you knew Wayne wanted to
get
going on the old Mustang Sally.
Right.
What was he drinking while he was singing Mustang Sally?
Everything and anything.
He likes a bevy.
He loves it. He's great. He's a old school. So they asked me to do Hole by the River. I did Hole by the River. They asked Danny to do a McFly song. I think he did It's All About You. It's a banger.
It's a good tune.
There you go. See?
It's a fucking tune.
Massive tune.
It's all about you, baby.
Big tune.
Really good tune.
Dermot, bless him, new to it all, and they just sort of said, and he's so wonderfully kind of like, he really just sort of went with this whole atmosphere of like, no, you won't know my song, so I'll do you this, I'll do you that. And he did these like Irish traditional...
Ooh. And Danny Boy, and everyone was crying.
Almost the whole room went silent.
Ooh. Of course it did.
No.
Wayne was at the bar getting a drink.
Wayne was like in the moment.
was he crying?
He was like, people weren't necessarily crying. I mean, probably some of them were.
Kind of the Irish are very emotional when they sing those songs.
It was gorgeous. And his voice, this stunning, like baritone.
It sounds like maudlin.
Yeah, but it was fucking awesome. I'm all anxiety and sad songs, so I'm like,
this man.
I loved it. I was listening to it. I was like, oh my God.
We were exchanging numbers at this point.
Fully, like entirely. Like,
promising each other that you were going to go on holiday and write to each other.
We'll all write songs together and the whole bit. Sorry, everyone can hear.
James, do you want a bit more juice or chicken or anything?
No, I'm loving it. I'm good as I am.
He's a very good boy. He's eating it all. Where's the bowls, Jess?
I was too...
This looks really exciting.
I feel a bit pissed now.
James, do you mind eating this?
Yeah.
Do you like passionate eating?
For a long time, I confess, I thought it was E-A-T-E-N. I'm like so far away from like...
I like that. I didn't know. That's good.
I thought, you know, you sort
so
of
you
looks like
got
someone...
So you have a garden, you're not having a hot shooting party
I'm nowhere
this,
near it.
I'm
literally...
Weekend.
Thank you very much. That is yum.
Darling, do you like karaoke?
You know, I only did karaoke for the first time about 3 years ago when I first went to Japan. It was about 4 years ago. But I only did... First time I ever did karaoke, I hadn't actually done it before I went to Japan. And I did like an AC/DC song, something like that. And then they found Hole by the River and all my like band and crew was singing Hole by the River. That was a shame. But my manager, Ryan, who lives down the street, massive shout out to Ryan.
Should have invited Ryan.
But hang on, massive shout out to Ryan for like the first time we ever went and did karaoke together in Japan. We were up all night. And he put Wannabe by Spice Girls on.
Great song.
And a rap in the middle. Yeah. Mel B's moment, right. So he's singing away, he's doing it, like the screen's on and it's happening. And as soon as the rap moment began, he turned his back to the screen and he just did the whole rap to all of us without ever looking at... He knew every single... all of his, at the time, sort of 34 or whatever years old, he smashed that rap. Arguably better than Mel B.
I have to say, that isn't as impressive as saying that he did like a Twista or Busta Rhymes rap.
Sorry.
However,
come on.
Props to you, Ryan.
Have you heard of Gospeloki?
What's that?
Well, Michael McIntyre told us about it. They're gospel singers that sit. You can, I think your song is on their repertoire. Look it up.
Come on.
And they join in and they sing with you. So you can have
You have like your Sister Act 2 moment.
Yeah.
Like backing singers.
Let's go.
Wonderful.
I'm up for it.
Having it for next year.
For what?
For your bat mitzvah.
I hate karaoke.
Is this what you were saying in the Michael episode that you're doing a...
I'm going to do a bat mitzvah.
There you go.
Yeah. I don't know if gospel and bat mitzvah go together, but maybe it would be like a bat mitzvah.
Multicultural, that's us.
There you go. Absolutely. It's 21st century.
James Bay, thank you so much for being such a fantastic guest.
Thank you for having me.
You are such fun. Oh, lachai!
There you go.
Thank you for bringing the wine. Come on, let's just finish this
wine,
off.
I mean,
yeah, come on. Yeah, let's finish it.
It's
really bloody good.
Sorry, see,
I changed my opinion on Pinot Noir.
You know,
I've looked at that in my I've never ever thought
Pinot Noir could taste as good as this.
What's your dad's best tip?
Drink it. I don't know.
What a fabulous...
Funny. Charming. Talented.
Sincere.
Just brilliant.
Delightful.
I love it, lives, and I love Pinot Noir.
Thank you, James Bay. You are fantastic. You are brilliant. You sing excellently. But more importantly, you can come over for dinner anytime and bring that Lucy with you. Loved him.
Loved him too.
So much to say.
Jesse, the cheekbones.
It's got great bone structure.
Great face.
Smelt great.
Smelt gorgeous. Definitely don't wear the hat again.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. And we'll be back next week. Thank you, James, for being just a charming guest. The music you've heard on Table Manners is by Peter Duffy and Pete Fraser. Table Manners is produced by Alice Williams.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.